If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Champions League draw is set. We got a group of death. I feel like we have a group of mini death and so many intriguing matchups. 13 USMNT players, a record. 2 Peruvians. You know I'm going to say that one. Jimmy Conrad looks so good. Jonathan Johnson will join us later to discuss the Champions League 2021-2022 season is all ready to begin. Qué Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Qué Golazo, this live episode on YouTube. If you're listening later on audio, thank you so much. Don't forget to support, subscribe, like, follow, do whatever you can to help us grow. And this is the Champions League post-draw show. Jimmy Conrad, you look so good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, LME. Great to see you as always. Everybody watching, what is up? How is it going? I mean, I'm excited. The reason I got dressed up because it's very formal. This is a very big day.
No one told me, Jimmy.
Of the beautiful. I mean, you look good as always. Your face really carries everything because you're so handsome, LME. But for me, I got to put on a 1970s tux to really enhance the whole experience. And I'm here for it. This was a great group stage draw, even though UEFA loves to drag it out and make it a little bit more theatrical than maybe we're all just pull out the balls and let's go, you know? So
seriously.
It is what it is, but we're here now discussing it. And I think there's some juicy matchups to get into.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, sometimes these things can drag on and they can be like the football version of the English patient. It's like, let's get on with it already. But Jimmy Conrad, you look so good. The American James Bond, I love it. Let's get going. Let's discuss straight away. We're not really going to get into group by group. I think that's going to be part of the conversation, everybody. And by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, please throw in the comments and questions. We want to answer them because everybody's excited, especially if you're a supporter of a respective club. Jimmy Conrad. And by the way, Jonathan Johnson, our PSG insider, hopefully will join later on, but we will definitely talk PSG. Don't you worry. But Jimmy Conrad, straight away, just your initial thoughts of the draw and these groups.
Okay, I would say group of death. I'm just going to start there. The hardest group for me out of these 8 groups is Group B. Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Porto, who got into the knockout rounds and beat Juventus along the way. AC Milan.
100%.
That is a ridiculous group. Now, I will say the one that is the most competitive for me is Group G. You have Lille, you have Sevilla, you have Salzburg, and you have Wolfsburg. I like that. I think Sevilla are like, wow, thank you very much. Lille's not the same after losing their manager, Christophe Galtier. They haven't looked the same. He went to Nice, and they're just not really firing on all cylinders to start the season. That could change, obviously, as the group stages go along. I think that second place spot in Group G is wide open. I'm very excited about that. Some of the other ones, Group H, Chelsea and Juve, probably going to go through. I like Group F, Villarreal taking on Manchester United, a rematch of the Europa League final. But let's just say it right now. The manager of Villarreal, Unai Emery, doesn't like having success in the Champions League. He loves the Europa League, baby. You know, that's where he likes to apply his trade. Atalanta's in there as well. And then Young Boys, who I think could take some points off of people. They have an American manager in David Wagner. So I'm very excited to see how they go. And then Group D is a rehash, a rinse and repeat of Group B from last season with Inter,
Real Madrid, Shakhtar Donetsk.
And I shot the sheriff. Isn't that one as well?
And I did not shoot the deputy.
Group C, though, is very similar to Group G. You got Sporting Clube de Portugal, Borussia Dortmund, Ajax, and Besiktas. It feels pretty wide open. And then, obviously, the creme de la creme. You got Manchester City, PSG, RB Leipzig, and Club Brugge. All due respect to Club Brugge. It's probably between those other 3 teams. But, wow. I mean, especially if Cristiano Ronaldo goes to Manchester City, that is wild. We'll have Messi and Ronaldo again in the group stages. They were doing it last season for Juve and Barcelona. I'm here for it. I'm excited.
You're absolutely here for it. What a great description. I totally agree. So many intriguing storylines. I shot the sheriff. What a Peruvian, by the way. Hey, Jonathan Johnson is here, and he's joining us right now. Jonathan Johnson. Jonathan, what a ridiculous draw. There are so many storylines. I just talked to Jimmy about his initial thoughts. So give it to me, JJ. What do you make of it?
Yeah, obviously it's a it's crazy to see such a heavyweight battle, you know, between PSG, Man City. I mean, you look at some of the other groups as well, you know, very, very exciting. But I think PSG, City, especially considering the, you know, City disposed of PSG on their way to last season's final. You know, there's just so many potential, you know, headlines, talking points here. You know, that's not even touching, you know, on whether it's going to be Cristiano Ronaldo or against Lionel Messi once again. You know, that's a possibility at this moment in time. So, you know, it's just hugely exciting to see, you know, such a heavyweight battle coming straight out of the gate.
Absolutely. Hey, let's get into it. Let's begin with you, Jimmy, and then JJ, you follow right along. I want to hear your biggest winner. Who's the biggest winner from this draw? You know, it could be a straight up answer that you think, but maybe there's a club that you think, you know what, or maybe a group in itself that you think is a big winner coming out of it. Jimmy, what do you think?
I'm going to give you three teams. I think Chelsea are a big winner because I don't think Juve, obviously this uncertainty around Cristiano Ronaldo, Maxi Allegri still kind of inheriting a team that maybe doesn't have that identity just yet. So I think they are going to probably end up topping that group. And then Zenit and Malmo, you know, it's going to be, they should take care of those two teams. I think the one thing with Zenit, they're going to have to travel a little bit. Malmo's obviously a little bit closer, but there are some that I would look at. Okay, you have to travel very far midweek to go to these big games. So that one could be a bit of an issue, but I think Chelsea, Sevilla, as I mentioned, in that group with Lille, who are not the same without Christophe Galtier as their manager. Wolfsburg and Salzburg will both be competitive, but I think Sevilla just have that understanding and experience under Julen Lopetegui to get the business done. Eric Lamela has looked pretty good the first couple games here for them. And then I think Borussia Dortmund have to feel pretty good about it. Got Sporting Clube de Portugal, who are going to be challenging and be tough. But then Ajax, obviously, are still going to be good. But they have times where they drop off a bit. We saw it against Roma when they should have beat Roma last season, and they didn't. And then Besiktas, still a little bit of an unknown quantity. But I think that Erling Haaland can score a lot of goals against those three teams. So I like Dortmund as well. They got to be feeling pretty good because they could have had a much tougher group.
Yeah, I think you guys are being a bit respectful towards Lille. I heard your comments earlier. I think they're going to absolutely bomb. I'm actually really disappointed that Monaco didn't make the group stage, especially in those circumstances. No, I think the appointment of Gorvenek over the summer, hugely underwhelming. There's going to be players moving between now and the end of the transfer window. We might lose Botman going to Wolves. I'm really worried. I mean, pairing PSG's draw, which is a difficult group, especially if they start as slowly as they did last season, with Lille, who are champions of France, yet, you know, a shadow of the side that they were last season. You know, it's very worrying times for French football and what might happen on the continent, especially when you bear in mind that France has already been passed by Portugal in the coefficient ranking because of what happened in the group stage qualifiers. So, you know, obviously, I've got huge reservations over what happens there. And can we please get a bit of originality in some of these draws? How do we end up with Inter, Real, Shakhtar? You know, two seasons in a row.
It's like Bayern Munich playing Arsenal five consecutive seasons in a row in the Champions
League. Listen, I hope that none of these coaches threw away their PDF files and they just saved it from last season because it's exactly the same groups. JJ, not getting away with this one. Give me your biggest winner. Who do you think?
Biggest winner. You know, I think there's a few teams that have really won. I mean, I think Chelsea, to be perfectly honest, you know, you look at their group, I think that they're going to be really happy with that. Juve, you know, look like they're going to have the same problems that they had at the end of Allegri's former reign. You know, this time around, they've started looking pretty sluggish. Whether or not they can capitalize on a potential exit of Cristiano Ronaldo before the end of the transfer window, we'll have to wait and see. You know, but I just think Chelsea, especially with the way that they've strengthened the squad this summer, for me, I think they look really strong. It wouldn't surprise me if they make another deep run this season.
Yeah, and listen, to your point about Lille, my biggest winner, Sevilla. I think Sevilla is looking at this group and thinking, we can take care of business here and we can do it quite easily with all due respect to everybody else. We got a question.
United as well. We'll be looking at
that's a goal fest of a group right there, I think. Don't you think? You never know what you're going to get with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Jimmy Conrad.
Well, what I'll say is that I thought Manchester United started their group very, very brightly last time. They beat PSG in Paris 2-1. They went home and beat RB Leipzig 5-0. Then they went down to Istanbul and thinking, we can smoke a cigarette and put out whoever we want and beat Başakşehir here. And then they give up a breakaway from 50 yards to Demba Ba. Still can't forgive them for that. So I thought Ole Gunnar got his tactics wrong. in that particular one. And those drop points against Başakşehir is what ultimately cost them from getting into the knockout rounds, because they had a must-win game in Leipzig that they ended up losing 3-2. So Man United against Villarreal, I think they can do the business and get the majority of the points there. Against Atalanta, potentially the same, even though I'm a big Gasperini fan. Young Boys, though, is the team that actually scares me against Man United, because I think they could take them like they did with Başakşehir and just take it easy and not really up the tempo in the way that they should. I think Young Boys will take some points from some of these other teams. So that's a tough group as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. Sam Martin in the comment section, by the way, and thank you so much for watching. Who has the easiest path out of the group stages? I'm going to throw that to JJ first.
I mean, I think looking at it just on face value, you know, Dortmund probably have one of the best routes, potential routes, you know, out of the group. You know, Sporting, Ajax, Besiktas, no disrespect to any of them. You know, I think that that is a, that's a good draw and that could see them go far. You know, and I'm also, I agree with Jimmy. I think Sevilla, you know, will feel, you know, very confident as well. I want to say somebody from the group with Atletico and Liverpool, but, you know, I think with two fairly strongish teams in there in Atletico and Liverpool, it's difficult to pick just one. You know, and I'd say as well, depending on how Barca look, in the early games, that it could be quite a decent route for Bayern as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with JJ with Bayern Munich. We haven't really discussed that group at all. I was hoping Club Bruges would get in there, so it'd all be B's. We'd have Bayern, Barcelona, Benfica, and Bruges, but unfortunately, Dynamo Kiev had to ruin the party there. But I do think that Bayern Munich have a nice road. Ultimately, they're going to be challenged, I think, by all those clubs. But ultimately, especially if they can tighten things up on the defensive side of the ball, they should get through that, and Lewandowski should score quite a few goals. So I'm curious to see how they manage that. And ultimately now it's who plays who, right? I'm kind of curious what the schedule looks like in terms of match days and who's playing who and when, because I think that does make a difference.
Absolutely. And that's actually where we're going next. The best matchups, when you look at all these groups and you think about, you know, who is going to be facing who, and to your point, Jimmy Conrad, specifically when it's happening, if it's sandwiched in between some key domestic competitions. And by the way, as we're discussing, listen, we don't live in a cave. We know what's going on. Kylian Mbappe interested in Real Madrid. Real Madrid is supposed to, per Fabrizio Romano right now, literally. And JJ, I'm sure you are also got your ear here that, you know, that move maybe might happen. Cristiano Ronaldo as well wants Manchester City. Not sure if the, you know, if it will be reciprocated due to the money that might be needed from Juventus' perspective. So there's a lot still of moving parts from different players that may good. But when we look at these games in these groups, what matchup intrigues you the most? Jimmy?
I'm going to say PSG Man City is one that I'm looking at for obvious reasons. That seems like the premier matchup. I do, though, want to give a shout out to Atletico Madrid taking on Liverpool, because the last time these two faced off against each other was actually the last Champions League game before COVID hit, if you guys remember that one. And Atleti went to Anfield needing a result, and they got it. Marcos Llorente was sick in that one. Morata ended up scoring the one that put the nail in the coffin, and Atleti knocked out the reigning champions of the Champions League at that time. So I kind of want to see Simeone versus Klopp again, just to kind of relive that matchup, because that was a very good one. And especially over two legs in the group stages, it should be a lot of fun.
What do you think, JJ?
Yeah, obviously I'm looking forward to PSG and City as well. A little extra bonus for me, not just you know, their meetings the last couple of seasons, but Jack Grealish coming up against PSG. I mean, you know, there has to be some sort of silver lining to that sad move over the summer. So, yeah, obviously I'm looking forward to that one. I mean, elsewhere, you know, I think the Bayern-Barca, you know, that has a real traditional feel to it. And I like that Benfica have been thrown into that mix as well. So I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on that one. Villarreal Man United is, you know, being a rematch of another European final is always cool when that happens. You know, but I think Chelsea Juve as well, you know, that's another big name clash, you know, very traditional. And also, you know, Group B, when you've got Atletico, Liverpool and AC Milan all in the mix, you know, it kind of takes you back a decade or so, you know, seeing some of these massive European names all together.
Yeah, that's the one that I was looking at. Liverpool against AC Milan. It's got so much history, of course, not just in the Champions League, but UEFA, Europa League, of course, as well. All right, we got another question coming in from Nicholas. Thank you so much. What does the panel make of Benfica's draw? I mean, we've touched on it, but not enough. Any chance they advance to the knockout stage? And just to remind everybody, it's Group E, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, and Dynamo Kiev. Jimmy, what do you think?
I'll say that I was pleasantly surprised that Benfica got past PSV Eindhoven in the qualifying rounds to get into this spot, especially after getting a red card in the second leg and they had to hold off PSV. Now, PSV don't look the same without Daniel Malen, who left to Borussia Dortmund. But that said, I like the stout defensive work that I saw, especially when Otamendi's in the team, with all due respect to Benfica fans out there. Otamendi's always due for a mistake, whether he's playing for club or country. So it's not isolated to him playing for Benfica. But if they can continue to have that kind of attitude and identity on that side of the ball, of course, I think they have a chance, especially with Barcelona still trying to figure out who they are post-Messi. Dinamo Kiev, you can never sleep on those guys because I don't think a lot of the top players for the top clubs are really familiar with who they're playing against. So there's always that possibility. But if Benfica really want to go through and have a chance to maybe get second in this group behind Bayern Munich, they have to win both games against Kiev and they got to steal some points from Barcelona. That's the way they should be looking at it. And I'm sure that that's what they are. But they have the quality to get through for sure. It's just a matter of can they maintain that consistency and also try to regain the title in Portugal because they were third last season. So obviously they've got a couple things that have their focus. And I feel like if you're a team of Benfica's size, you need to put everything you have to try to get through the knockout rounds or try to get into the knockout rounds. And that's not always easy when you balance the domestic stuff as well.
Especially when you are trying to protect home turf, I guess the home games are going to be very important. JJ, what do you make of it? Barcelona, Bayern Munich, clearly the favorites in that group, but Benfica, they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be looking at probably finishing third in that group at this moment in time. But it really all depends on how the teams are shaping up. You know, I expect Bayern to be the strongest team in this group. And I think, you know, it's between Benfica and Barcelona. You know, we've seen Barca, you know, really in crisis this summer, losing Messi, you know, being able to register players just about by the skin of their teeth. And I think if they're looking vulnerable in the early games, it also depends on when the matchups come, who Benfica, start with. You know, you look at that draw and, you know, perhaps if Benfica start with a Dynamo Kiev, perhaps a Kiev at home, make a strong start, then that could really change the way that things look for a second place. I don't think that Benfica could finish top of the group, and I don't think there'd be many people kidding themselves that could happen, but could they sneak second? Sure. It really depends on Barcelona, I feel.
All right, we got another question here from Quinn, by the way. Over under on 4 goal contributions from Brendan Aaronson. I love Brendan Aaronson, by the way, in the group. Jimmy, what do you think?
Oh, over for sure. And thanks for that question, Quinn. I think that Brendan Aaronson showed his worth, obviously scoring a goal in each of the two legs in the last round of qualifying to get into the group stages. What I really liked, though, was that second half of the first leg when he came on as a super sub and ended up helping create the first goal and then scoring the second. He's just busy in and around the box. He's always looking for things. He's always sniffing around. And what I love is that he's not reacting to a lot of plays. He's anticipating. And that's hard to teach, especially for young players. And he's always putting himself in good positions. And if it doesn't come right away, he's going to find a new space to try to create a new angle. And his energy is fantastic. And I think as he continues to grow, it's going to be really competitive for him to get minutes on the U.S. men's national team. If I'm Gio Reyna a little bit right now, I'm like, yo, this Aaronson kid's pretty good. I don't know if I want to lose my minutes to him. And Pulisic's still the guy and going to be wearing the number 10 shirt for us. But Aaronson's, I think, started to close that gap. And so definitely the over on this. 6 games for him to have over 4 goal contributions, no problem.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
13 USMNT players in the Champions League group stage. That's a record. Absolutely unbelievable. Jonathan Johnson, as an outsider, how do you feel about this? A lot of Americans. And of course, you know, when we see Chelsea against Juventus as well, McKennie against Pulisic, although if McKennie stays at Juventus, reports of interest, especially for the Premier League. That's a lot. 13 USMNT players.
Yeah, very exciting. I mean, especially for Jimmy. You know, going back to Aronson, you know, I think it's been a really good draw actually for Salzburg. You know, like I said, I've already voiced my concerns about Lille, but then you look in that group as well, Sevilla, you know, there's always a lot of changing pieces. You know, you look if they're losing somebody like a Koundé, for example, just before the end of the transfer deadline. There's potential there for Salzburg to be, you know, perhaps one of the more solid and formidable sides in that group. And I definitely think Aronson will be a key performer there. And then obviously, you know, to have the likes of Pulisic, you know, picking up a Champions League title last season, it's a huge boost for the American game. And obviously to have that many players to be looking forward to watching week in, week out in the Champions League group stages is a massive boon. And hopefully the majority of them can make it to the knockout stage.
And by the way, two Peruvians, okay? Sergio Peña in Malmo and Gustavo Dulanto in I Shot the Sheriff. So, you know, watch out for that one. All right, I want to ask something for you. We all had our predictions on who might win this whole thing. As the group stage is set, has that changed your mind, Jimmy?
I think what's changed my mind the most is actually the odds that the bookies are putting out there on Caesars Sportsbook, who we partner with. They have PSG as the favorites at plus 275, Man City's plus 350. So these are American odds. If you're over in Europe, it's 3.5 to 1, 350. And then it jumps up. Bayern Munich's plus 700, which I find somewhat interesting. And then it's two English Premier League clubs at plus 800, Liverpool and Chelsea. I like that Chelsea bet a lot. I know it's not easy to win back-to-back. Real Madrid won it three times in a row from 2016 to 2018 in 4 out of 5 years when Ancelotti did it and won La Decima. But prior to that, the other team that won back-to-back was AC Milan back in 88 and 89. It's not easy to do, but when you add a piece like Romelu Lukaku, when you continue to strengthen your team in other areas to provide that depth so you can be comfortable and confident and successful in multiple competitions, I like that value a lot for Chelsea. That's the one I'm kind of leaning towards just based on the value alone. It's just like, wow. I mean, I can put 10 bucks on here and win 80 on Chelsea. Like, seriously? So PSG, obviously on paper, tremendous. They didn't need a goalkeeper because they already had one in Keylor Navas. They wouldn't got one anyway. Player of the tournament in the Euros with Donnarumma. They probably needed some kind of wing back. They got one in Achraf Hakimi, arguably the best in Europe, 7 goals and 7 assists for Inter Milan last season. They needed a little leadership in the back. They got it with Sergio Ramos. So then, oh, hey, by the way, Leo Messi's going to come play with us as well. Now, they still have the headache of Kylian Mbappe's situation. I assume that's going to get resolved here in the next 4 or 5 days. But PSG on paper should do it. But that doesn't mean you're always going to do it. They still have to go out there and play it over two legs against a Chelsea team or a Man City team or anybody that's really stout defensively and has a good identity. It could break through this PSG team.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, we have one of the best insiders of Paris Saint-Germain, Paris-based Jonathan Johnson. Talk to me. What do you make of PSG?
Oh, and obviously PSG, when you've got that much star quality, they're always going to be fancied as potential contenders for the title. You know, and we've said this now for the last couple of seasons as well, that, you know, people fancy them going all the way, you know, and they've shown that by, you know, they went all the way and then got beaten by Bayern. You know, they got to the latter stages last season, came up against City and fell short. So they have proven themselves. They've sort of got over that mental hurdle. But now you've almost got Mauricio Pochettino starting from scratch to establish a starting 11. And in such a difficult group, depending on how the fixtures fall, it could get quite tricky quite quickly for PSG in that group. Equally, it could also be the case for City as well. But City, you know, they've made fewer major changes than PSG. And, you know, if you suddenly take Mbappe out of there as well, you know, and you've got figures who are so used to leading their teams in Ramos and Messi to come in, you know, in terms of the chemistry, it's basically like starting again. So it's also quite a risk for PSG, you know, and I think that although obviously on paper they have the quality, they have the ability to go far, it depends on how quickly Pochettino can get them to gel. And being brutally honest, from what we've seen from Pochettino with PSG so far, you don't necessarily fancy, you know, that being an overnight job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a question there from a producer, Des. I think it was from a very handsome man called Igor Mello, I think. He was asking about Serie A teams. Obviously, you can watch Serie A on Paramount Plus, so that's a good plug right there. But Serie A teams, which one do you think has the toughest job getting out of the groups? Jimmy?
Toughest for sure, AC Milan. They're in Group B with Atletico Madrid and Porto and Liverpool. That is going to be a top job for Stefano Pioli, the manager of Milan, to have to navigate the high seas of that group, because that's the group of death, undoubtedly. Now, when I look at Juve, they're there with Chelsea. I just think for Maxi Allegri, and I agree with JJ, the fixture list here, who plays who and when, is going to be really important. Because if Juve can start with a Zenit, or if they can start with a Malmo, that's a, you know, you kind of ease into the Champions League group stage and then face Chelsea when you start to get a better idea of who you are as a team. So that's going to be really important. If they start off with Chelsea, that could get a little dicey potentially. So I think Juve probably should get through that group, but we'll see. Sometimes they're their own worst enemy. Atalanta, though, I think is very interesting because they have Villarreal and Manchester United and Young Boys. They're going to have the quality, especially if they can hold on to Duván Zapata, Luis Muriel. We can't say enough about him on this show. We think he's a tremendous player. For me, it's still, you lost Christian Romero, you lost Gallini in goal. You have a couple holes that I think will be filled, right? But how is that going to be brought along by Gasperini? So I'm kind of curious to see how he kind of connects the dots. But you can't sleep on Gasperini now as a tactician. The guy is a magician. So it'd be really cool to see how he does against some of these other managers and Ole Gunnar and Unai Emery, in particular.
Yeah, no, some really good points, especially as the window closes. Jonathan, what happens, though, if Ronaldo does leave Juventus? Does that make it, obviously, much harder for that Serie A team getting out of there against Zenit, Malmo, and Chelsea?
It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, it really depends on how they spend, the money that would come in, especially at such short notice. You'd assume that if he does go, that there have been some targets lined up. But then again, you know, Juve have been relatively inactive this summer, so for them to suddenly be active on the market, I think will be a telltale sign that, you know, Ronaldo is on his way. So clubs will immediately hike up the asking price, and they will do anyway this late in the day. So, you know, I think it could potentially ease things sort of within the team, within the hierarchy. It also makes them a bit more mobile on the pitch. You know, obviously they'd lose a bit of experience, but also I'm not sure how much of a positive keeping Cristiano Ronaldo is at this stage when it's quite clear that he doesn't see his future in Turin. So, you know, I think it would be more of a plus than a negative, than a minus, for me, if Ronaldo moves on. So I agree. I think that Juve, it completely depends how the fixtures are going to fall. But I think Chelsea, for me, strongest team in this group. But I've also painted Zenit as, you know, dark horses in groups before, and they've completely bombed. So I'd need to see major improvement from them if I'm to believe that they're going to finish anything better than third or fourth.
You're not falling for that one ever again. All right. What about, listen, just a quick focus on Premier League clubs. Obviously, there's always an interest to see how far they go. We got Liverpool in Group B, Chelsea, we've already talked about, Manchester United. Who does it remain the favorite? Because my sneaky team to go all the way, sneaky, plus 800, is Liverpool. What do you think of that, Jimmy Conrad?
I think health is of the utmost importance for the Reds and Jurgen Klopp in particular. Obviously, they have a point to prove in the Premier League as well, as they now have to manage both of these competitions. We've seen in the past, they won the Champions League and just lost the league a couple seasons ago, and then they won the league and didn't do so well in the Champions League. So it's really that point of emphasis. What are you going to focus on as a manager and as a team? And where are you going to throw all of your energy and time and desire and emotion and enthusiasm? So that is a question for all of the big clubs, right, as they try to balance all of this. But when it comes to Liverpool, health is of the utmost importance with regard to their success. I think they can do it. Plus 800 is great value for them. What I love is that their core has already done it before, so they have the experience of winning this competition, which is important. Chelsea have that as well, plus 800. And then you have Manchester United, who are plus 1,400 to go on and win it. Now, Ole Gunnar's done a pretty good job in most competitions of getting to the semifinal, and now he went to two finals last year and lost. Maybe he's ready to take that step. I feel like they're still assigning away, maybe in that holding midfield spot now with McTominay, who's going to be out for the next month to 6 weeks to a groin injury. Do you rely on Fred? They're still missing, I think, one or two players, maybe even a number nine to help out with Cavani because he's getting older. Can he do all these games and play in every competition? Probably not. So there's a couple question marks I have with United, but I don't have those question marks with Liverpool and Chelsea.
Is there a club in the Premier League, Jonathan Johnson, that you think you're not getting out of this group?
No, I wouldn't say that there's a club that I don't think are going to get out of the group, but I do think that for me, City and Chelsea are by far and away the strongest teams in this group stage. Liverpool, I mean, I think it totally depends. I mean, we've seen Liverpool be strong in the league, but look a little vulnerable in the Champions League in the past, and then they come on strong quite late on, make a burst out of the group, and then end up going quite deep. So, you know, we will see how that one shakes out. I mean, like I said before, I do like the pedigree of group B in terms of everything that all the clubs have done on the European scene over the years. You know, and the Man U, I mean, I think it's a really favorable group. I cannot see them not finishing in the top two. I think it depends. You know, Villarreal have been very, very shaky in preseason, lost the Super Cup to Chelsea as well. So I wouldn't surprise me to see United and Atalanta getting out of the group there. So I don't really think that there's any Premier League side that's potentially at risk here.
By the way, before we wrap up, we haven't even talked that much about Real Madrid. Carlo Ancelotti returning to Italy because Inter Milan, obviously it's a very similar group as we mentioned as before. But anything on Real Madrid, Jimmy Conrad? I mean, listen, like, you know, Karim Benzema, clearly the star, arguably the star of La Liga in itself. Ancelotti maybe giving them a little bit of confidence. Vinicius Jr. is looking good. Real Madrid, what are your thoughts?
Well, they've scored 7 goals in their first 2 games so far this season, but they've given up 5. Excuse me, 4. So it's the defensive side of the ball that I'm a little bit worried about. Eden Hazard, you know, can he continue to push on and stay healthy? Ultimately, I think it's going to be the key to his success. Gareth Bale just being motivated. You know, he scored his first goal of the season against Levante. They beat Alaves 4-1 in the first one. It was 3-3 against Levante. They had needed Vinicius to come in and save them. But that back line is the one that's a little bit... Alaba's there. He's playing left back right now. And I kind of like him and Hazard on that left side. But then you got Militao and Nacho, and you still have Vasquez playing right back. That's not going to win you a trophy of consequence, in my humble opinion, with all due respect to all the Madridistas watching. So that is the biggest point of concern. Plus, your middle three, who are tremendous players, Cruz, Modric, Casemiro, they're just not getting any younger. And they've had a lot of success in the past. Can they maintain that? That's always the big challenge as players get a little bit older. I do, though, want to take 1 minute to talk about Atletico Madrid, because I think that Diego Simeone is putting together a very good team. They just got Cunha from Hertha Berlin. They got Rodrigo De Paul, who could turn out to be the best summer signing in this transfer window. And they've got a lot of depth, and I think they're ready to compete in multiple competitions. And they are my long shot to win this competition, plus 2,500, 25-1 for them to win it, the Champions League. I don't think that's a bad shout, especially if they can survive this group and do what they have to do. Madrid are plus 1,600, 16-1 to win the Champions League. So that's what I have to say, but I want to give a shout out to Atleti there.
No, great shout out. I mean, Cunha is a player, very underrated from the Bundesliga. Now he's joining a manager who I think is going to help him develop. You mentioned that Paul, one of the best players for Argentina, especially in Copa America, Jonathan Johnson, if Kylian Mbappe leaves PSG, goes to Real Madrid, is that enough to maybe think of Real Madrid as one of the favorites? I know that, you know, I know that you have issues, maybe thoughts about Mbappe leaving PSG. What do you make of it?
No, I mean, no, being completely objective, if Mbappe goes, sure. I mean, I think it gives them a more of a shot of making a deep run. I don't think it remedies all of their problems, and I think their problems are tenfold. And I think if Mbappe does come in right now, as much as it would give them a short-term boost in attack, it's going to give them a lot of long-term issues because, as Jimmy just mentioned, in the next couple of years, you're going to need to pretty much rip out the entire in midfield and start again. You've got to rebuild that defense, which is already looking very shaky. I mean, okay, you've got a few decent building blocks there. You've got Courtois in goal, who, you know, is going to be around for a fairly decent chunk of the foreseeable future. But also as well, I have real question marks about Ancelotti. So much respect for everything he's achieved over the years, but nothing that he's done in the last couple of years of his career have told me that he's going to come anywhere close to winning major silverware in Europe once more. So for me, I have major reservations over Real Madrid. And, you know, as exciting as Mbappe's arrival would be, I think, you know, this Real side at this moment in time needs so much investment in other areas. I don't think that he would save them. Sure, I think they'd get out of the group, but I don't think that they'd get any further than, say, a quarter final. And obviously it depends on the draw, who they come up against in the round of 16 as well. I think for me, Mbappe to Real Madrid is a better move next summer, keeping all the money that you potentially spend now and actually using that, you know, to regenerate this squad.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Florentino Perez cares too much about that, but I think you make a very good point. By the way, if Karim Benzema goes out for a few weeks, God forbid, then it's a completely different narrative for Real Madrid. All right, that's it. That's our Champions League draw show. Before we say goodbye, I just want a final thought from each of you. It can be about anything in regards to the Champions League, anything that maybe we haven't touched upon. Jimmy, what's your final thought?
My final thought is this is one of my favorite days of the year. I think it's better than Christmas. We get all the top teams in Europe playing in my favorite competition, and I can't get enough of it. So I'm glad I got to share this very special day with all of you, especially LME and JJ.
I love it. JJ, final thoughts.
Yeah, guys, likewise, you know, really psyched, you know, always great when the group stage draw lives up to the billing and more. You know, we've got so many great games to look forward to. And, you know, I'm just grateful that I'm going to be able to share it with you guys again. And, you know, look forward to dissecting this all with you in the coming weeks and months.
100%. Thank you so much for being part of this show. Don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, Que Gol Lazo Pod, Jonathan Johnson, John_LeGossip on Twitter, Jimmy Conrad on Twitter, Instagram, etc. By the way, the Champions League is on Paramount Plus, CBS Sports, and you can follow all the coverage with us throughout the entire season. We got plenty more to come. We'll see you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.